Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Wednesday, October 26, 2022. President Biden, yesterday at a press conference, issued a statement regarding the shootings at a school in St. Louis. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre issued the statement and answered questions regarding the president's position on banning assault weapons. We'll share those remarks now.
This morning, another shooting, another school shooting, this time in St. Louis, Missouri, has reportedly left at least three people dead, including the shooting suspect and injured several others. Our hearts go out to everyone impacted by today's senseless violence, particularly those injured and killed, their families, as well as the first respondents. In the wake of Newton, Parkland, Buffalo, Uvalde, and countless other shootings in communities across the country, we need additional action to stop the scourge of gun violence. Every day that the Senate fails to send assault weapons ban to the president's desk or waits to take other common sense actions is a day too late for our families and communities impacted by gun violence. Today in South Africa, African Union-led talks kicked off to address the conflict in northern Ethiopia. We commend South Africa for hosting the talks and stand ready to support African Union High Representative Obasanjo and AU panel members, former South African Deputy Labuka, and former Kenyan President Kenyatta, in facilitating an agreement. As President Biden told the UN General Assembly last month, a peace process is needed to end the fighting in Ethiopia and restore security for all its people. The United States has been intensely involved diplomatically in supporting the launch of this mediation effort. Our special envoy for the Horn of Africa, Ambassador Mike Hammer, has been in the region the past several weeks and will be participating as well. After nearly 2 years of conflict, the crisis in northern Ethiopia is one of the worst humanitarian crises in the world. With humanitarian access largely blocked since August, emergency nutrition and health supplies have completely run out in many areas and severely malnourished populations, particularly children under five, will start dying at alarming rates without immediate additional supplies. There is no military solution to this conflict. We call on the government of Ethiopia and the Tigrayan authorities to engage seriously in the AU-led talks to achieve an immediate cessation of hostilities, unhindered delivery of humanitarian assistance to all Ethiopians in need, prevention of further human rights abuses and atrocities, and Eritrea's withdrawal from northern Ethiopia. The United States urges the parties to resolve their differences through dialogue and prevent further human rights abuses. And as we have made clear directly to the relevant parties in recent days, those who commit atrocities will be held accountable. Now, with respect to the news from the United Kingdom today, as you all know, it's protocol for the president to wait until after an incoming British prime minister has met with the monarch and been invited to form a new government to offer his congratulations. But President Biden looks forward to speaking with Minister Sunak in the upcoming days and an end to our continued close cooperation with the United Kingdom. I wanted to also give a quick update on the work the president is doing to lower prices and give hard-working Americans a bit more breathing room. The Biden administration is continuing to charge full speed ahead in implementing the student debt relief plan in compliance with the Eighth Circuit's order. As I said on Friday, the temporary order does not prevent borrowers from applying for student loan relief at studentaid.gov. Again, that's studentaid.gov. The order also does not reverse the lower court's dismissal of the case or suggest that the case has any merit at all. It merely prevents debt from being discharged until the court makes a decision. The Department of Education will continue reviewing applications and preparing them for transmission to loan services. As of Friday, 22 million student borrowers have already applied for this game-changing relief. The president's message to borrowers is to apply for student debt relief at studentaid.gov if they haven't already. He will continue to fight efforts by Republican officials to block relief from getting to middle-class families. We've also seen continued progress bringing down prices at the pump. Gas prices are declining for a third week, with prices coming down in every state across the country. Nationally, prices are down by $1.22 per gallon since their June peak. That is saving Americans' families with two cars about $130 a month on average. According to an industry analyst, the most common price at gas stations across the country is now $3.49 per gallon. Some states that saw increases in recent weeks are now experiencing steep declines. For instance, the price of gas fell by 31 cents in California over the past week. In Oregon and Washington, it has come down by about a quarter per gallon. Ohio, Wisconsin, and Michigan have also seen prices drop by 13 to 15 cents per gallon over this past week alone. The president will continue to do everything he can to lower prices. At the same time, energy companies who are taking in these record profits, as you all know, also need to pass on their lower costs to consumers at the pump. And that is something that the president is going to continue to call on. Finally, we wish a happy Diwali to the millions of Americans who celebrate. This evening, the president and the first lady will host a Diwali reception at the White House. They will be joined by the vice president, who is, of course, the first ever South Asian American vice president in history. The president is looking forward to celebrating this festival of lights here at the White House, along with millions of Americans who observe this sacred holiday and who have made it an important part of American culture. With that, Colleen, want to take the first question?
Thanks, Chris. So you mentioned the St. Louis shooting, and the president just a little while ago was talking about how he'd like to pass an assault weapons ban. What's the way forward if the Democrats don't control the House?
Well, let's not forget, the president was able to do something just this past couple of months that hadn't been done in 30 years, which is passing a bipartisan bill on getting to that next step of dealing with gun violence. So that is something, because of the president's leadership, that he was able to do. And so he's going to continue to work on that. To remember, 30 years ago, he was one of the leaders to ban assault weapons. So he knows what it means to get it done. He knows the work that needs to get that done as well. But look, I think this is part of, you know, you ask us all the time, every time you ask me here at the podium, what is the president's message to Americans? His message to Americans is there's a choice. There is going to be a choice that Americans are going to have to make without me getting into elections or getting into politics from here. But it's very clear. If you think about what Democrats want to do, if you think about what congressional Democrats and this president have already done, lower costs, if you think about what we're doing with our economic policies, creating jobs, making an economy that doesn't leave anybody behind but builds it from the bottom up and the middle out, that is so incredibly important. And what congressional Republicans want to do is take that all away. But there's also, how do we look at the future? How do we look at the things that we want to continue to do? And that's one of them, right? Banning assault weapons. How do we look at how we're going to protect women's health, right? Women's right to choose. That is making sure we codify Roe. What Republicans, congressional Republicans want to do is they want to go ahead and codify Dobbs, right? They want to to make that a national ban. They want to make abortion a national ban, which means that it doesn't matter if you're in a red or blue state. That right is going to be taken away from you.
One other question. How concerned is the administration about security around elections?
That's a very good question, and that is something that clearly we're monitoring very closely. Just a couple of things that we want to share with all of you on this is that the federal government is committed to working with our state and local partners to ensure the security of our election system from voter registration all the way to vote tabulation. Recently, FBI and CISA issued a joint PSA focusing on America's election security and preparedness. They assess that any attempts by cyber actors to compromise election infrastructure are unlikely to result in large-scale disruptions or prevent voting. As of the date of October 4th, the FBI and CISA had no reporting to cyber activity has ever prevented a registered voter from casting a ballot compromised the integrity of any ballot cast or affected the accuracy of voter registration information. Any attempts tracked by FBI have remained localized and were blocked or successfully mitigated with minimal or no disruption to election process. That said, we'll continue, as I said, monitor any threats to our elections if they arise and work as a coherent interagency to get relevant information to the election officials and workers on the ground.
And that was from yesterday's White House press conference with Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. Today, she announced that President Joe Biden and First Lady Dr. Biden will host President Emmanuel Macron and Mrs. Brigitte Macron of France for a state visit to the United States on December 1, 2022. This will be the first state visit of the Biden-Harris administration. It will underscore the deep and enduring relationship between the United States and France, our oldest ally. The statement says, our close relationship with France is founded on our shared democratic values, economic ties, and defense and security cooperation. The leaders will discuss our continued close partnership on shared global challenges and areas of bilateral interest. In other news, it is recognized that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And as always, there are those celebrities that are coming forward to remind us to continue the efforts of early detection and treatment to help get rid of breast cancer. Men, however, also need to be aware. Long time legendary Hollywood actor Richard Roundtree, known for his portrayal of the detective John Shaft, speaks of his big score against breast cancer. Richard Roundtree, of course, best known for his portrayal of private detective John Shaft in the 1971 film Shaft and its two sequels, Shaft's Big Score and Shaft in Africa, continues to speak out and advocate for men to get tested for breast cancer. As a breast cancer survivor, the 79-year-old Richard Roundtree continues to stay fit and eat healthy while playing on BET's hit show, Being Mary Jane. And he's preparing for a reboot to his famous Shaft character once again. He's been doing all of this after being diagnosed with the rare disease, male breast cancer, in 1993. No one, not even Richard Roundtree, would have thought it could happen to him, him being so fit, throughout high school, college, and as well as his acting career. Richard Roundtree found the lump while filming a movie in Costa Rica, and when he was diagnosed with cancer in 1993, he was in shock. He said, "The doctor told me you have breast cancer. I heard the cancer first part. It was only later that I heard the breast part. I couldn't believe it." He also stated that it just didn't feel right. He said, "I'm a bit of a hypochondriac, so I decided to get it checked out when I was back in L.A. He had found a lump during the time of his filming of the movie. And after getting it tested, he was diagnosed and began treatment for breast cancer. He kept quiet about his status as a cancer survivor for years, but then realized that speaking out could help save lives. He said, "I was in the closet, so to speak, until the fifth year when I was cancer-free. While at a celebrity golf tournament to raise money for a mobile breast cancer diagnostic unit, Richard Roundtree decided to spill the beans. He said, "I got up and told everybody that I was a breast cancer survivor. The room was totally silent," he said, laughing. "I think it dawned on people that men can be affected by this too. Male breast cancer comprises only 1% of all breast cancer cases. Not a surprising figure since men's bodies contain only about 1% of the breast tissue found in women." And, of course, there are many who are urging early detection, self-examination, and if you find any lumps, most definitely consult your local physician and get tested. Cancer is not a disease that is untreatable. It is quite curable. It is something that is reversible and can disappear without a trace. There are now a number of different treatment methods, and even more information about its development and what are some of the reasons that cancer can actually develop in the body. There are a number of books that help people understand some of the emotional, psychological, and physical reasons that cancer may develop. It's not always hereditary. Sometimes it may be environmental. And it's always best to be cautious if there is anything in the body that could in fact be out of order. A number of forces can cause gene mutations, such as smoking, radiation, viruses, cancer-causing chemicals known as carcinogens, obesity, hormones, chronic inflammation, and a lack of exercise. General risk factors for cancer include older age, a personal or family history of cancer, using tobacco, obesity, alcohol, some types of viral infections such as human papillomavirus, HPV, specific chemicals, and exposure to radiation, including ultraviolet radiation from the sun. Skin cancer is an issue that is often a cause of concern during the hotter months. Breast cancer, being associated with a gland that can be removed if tissue forms that is cancerous, often spreads to other organs, which can make it life-threatening. So if you are experiencing any unfamiliar lumps, it is best to get tested, and early detection can certainly prevent the spread to vital organs, which would involve a very lengthy process of treatment. Emotional reasons for cancer. Doctors are also recognizing the mind-body-spirit connection and often the stress-related triggers that can result in cancer. Emotions affect both hormones and immune function. However, the link between mind-body interaction and cancer is not always clear. There is a vast difference between saying that stress temporarily alters some functions of the immune system and understanding how that stress leads to cancer. However, there are emotional stages of cancer. The first stages of dealing with a cancer diagnosis, stage one, is often denial. Stage two, anger. Stage three, known as bargaining. Stage four, sadness and depression. And stage five, acceptance. Acceptance, however, does not mean that one accepts a death sentence or a chronic illness that cannot be removed. Acceptance is merely taking responsibility to take the steps to reverse the disease. And sometimes that involves having knowledge of how one's body is able to self-repair and aiding one's body in that process. There is knowledge available, and one may simply seek in order to find. And that is the lesson for so many that have survived a diagnosis of cancer and find it now in remission. Today, the National Cancer Institute is continuing to conduct studies that help physicians make earlier diagnoses and help patients with the emotional stresses created by a diagnosis of cancer. Again, women and men need to take steps to examine themselves and notice any lumps and be aware of any high stress situations they are enduring for a long period of time that can break down the body's immune system, and to be aware of dietary factors as well. Diet is often the one thing that is left out of treatment, which does, in fact, have an impact on the body's ability to repair itself. Reported today by the New Orleans Agenda, the Delgado Community College is posting jobs, positions in the Human Resource Department, and the website offers an opportunity for people to apply and get hired, as there is an HRIS technology specialist, which focuses on implementation, support, and maintenance of the human resource information management systems. The HRS technology lead which is accountable for the creation and management of efficient projects, processes, and record keeping across human resources, services, and a talent acquisition and training manager, who will be responsible for managing the talent acquisition process for all faculty and staff members, classified and unclassified, full-time and part-time, and special contracts. And this is at the Delgado Community College. Delgado Community College is the oldest and largest multi-campus comprehensive community college in Louisiana. With an over 100-year history, Delgado Community College prepares more than 32,000 students each year for successful careers and additional higher education. Delgado exemplifies and celebrates diversity and economic progress for all. The future at Delgado Community College is a bright one for those who join them and continue to educate themselves there in Louisiana. New Orleans is a place where people can go for good jobs and better lives. For more information, visit the website and apply. And that website is careers.lctcs.edu. For those who are concerned about some of the latest information regarding the COVID virus shots and flu shots, it is important to do your research, as any injection, any shot taken will alter your body chemistry. If you are considering taking shots for any virus, be aware of how any medication that you may be taking will impact your body's response to a shot. Be aware of any changes in your breathing, and if there is difficulty after the taking of any injection of any kind, be sure to consult your physician immediately. There are those who may have hesitated after feeling discomfort, and when the discomfort increased, they were in serious respiratory trouble. So be aware of how all medications, all shots, any alteration of your natural body chemistry will affect your body's function. That's all for now. You've been listening to the on-air daily news for Wednesday, October 26, 2022. We look forward to sharing with you the latest information that can empower you to make decisions about your safety, security, health, well-being, education, employment, and other opportunities. Feel free to report your good news as you see it happening at 515-605-9749. And join us again tomorrow, 1 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, for more on-air daily. Until tomorrow, enjoy the rest of your day.